You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. The Hayward Farmers Market starting off at 9 o'clock, going until 1 o'clock. They'll be meeting at the Lumberjack Bowl, as always. That's located at 15670 County Road B here in Hayward. And, of course, you'll find seasonal vegetables, fruits, lots of different meats, some eggs from Happy Wandering Chickens, mushrooms, jams, and jellies, coffees, teas, and soaps, lots of plants and shrubs, honey, maple syrup, and local artisans and musicians will be featured as well. For more information, you can email the Hayward Farmers Market WI at gmail.com. Again, the Hayward Farmers Market starting at 9 o'clock, going until 1 this afternoon at the Lumberjack Bowl. The Hayward Community Food Shelf out on Highway 63 will be distributing food this Monday starting at 9 o'clock until 12. For more information on that, you can go to haywardfoodshelf.net and click on the Need Food tab. Again, this will be this Monday until 9 o'clock until noon at 16216 U.S. Highway 63. They would also like you to let you know that it is time to sign up for the Hayward Community Food Shelf's Food for Kids School Year Program. Information sheets and permission slips are available through the schools and their website, as well as the Facebook pages and Food Shelf's website and Facebook page. The Food for Kids School Year Program will begin September 12th, and the purpose of the program is to provide food for school-age children during the weekends when school breakfast and lunches are not available. Food is provided at no cost to the parent or student. All you have to do is complete the registration form and submit it back to the student's school. If you have questions about this program, contact the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 715-634-4237. The Strong Bodies Exercise Program will be available at the LaCouturie Elder Center, located at 13856 West Corbine Road in Stone Lake. That starts at 10:30 on Monday. Classes are held twice each week, including progressive resistance training, balance training, flexibility exercises, and some nutritional fun. Transportation is available by calling Bob at 715-699-3529. Again, the Strong Bodies program starting at 10:30 at the LCO Aging and Disability Center. At the Hayward Senior Resource Center, they'll have super senior classes, a 45-minute chair-based exercise class for those 60 and older. They'll work on balance, strength, coordination, core, and, of course, having fun. That is, again, Monday at 11 o'clock at the Hayward Senior Resource Center, located at 15856 East 5th Street here in Hayward. Beginning on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, the North Woods Community Food Shelf will be open at the Spider Lake Church Youth Center here in Hayward, located at 11255 Highway 77, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They'll have lots of foods and meats and produce available, and everyone's encouraged to come get some food from this program, regardless of your financial situation. For more information, you can visit spiderlakechurch.org. And again, this is the Northwoods Community Food Shelf, opening up Tuesday at 10 a.m. Girls varsity tennis for Barron Schools will have a meet at 4 o'clock. They'll be meeting at Regis High School. That's Tuesday at 4 o'clock. The girls varsity tennis for Barron Schools will be meeting at the Regis High School. Barron Girls Varsity Golf Match will also start at 4 o'clock, and that will be at the Grantsburg Public Golf Course. Again, 4 o'clock on Tuesday, The girls varsity golf for Barron Schools will be meeting at the Grantsburg Public Golf Course. At 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the Stone Lake History Museum will be having an open house. The museum is located at 6064 Stone Lake Road in Stone Lake. From 5 until 7, they'll be offering refreshments and tours of the museum. Again, Saturday, September 9th at 5 o'clock until 7, the Stone Lake History Museum is having an open house. On Wednesday at 10 o'clock, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be open once again. This is at the Spider Lake Youth Center, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of foods available, and everyone's encouraged to come get food from this program, regardless of their financial situation. Again, that's Wednesday at 10 o'clock until 3. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be open. The Strong Bodies program will be offering another exercise class at 10:30 on Wednesday at the LCO Aging and Disability Center. Again, if you'd like a ride, you can call Bob at 715-699-3529. And also on Wednesday, the Hayward Senior Resource Center is offering their Super Seniors class, a chair-based program for those 60 and older, working on balance, strength, coordination, and core. Again, this is 11 o'clock on Wednesday at the Hayward Senior Resource Center. And on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Artbeat of Hayward is opening up a new exhibit entitled Broad Strokes, Watercolorist, and Helena Fiber Art. Again, that's happening at 4 o'clock on Wednesday at Artbeat. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH, The Buzz of the North. I'm Greg Gunderson, here with Rachel Casey. And today in Hayward, we are discussing... Rachel doesn't know what the topic I've chosen is yet. Renaissance Fair. Okay. Change of topic. Weird noises is now the topic. So this over the weekend, we just got back yesterday from a road trip that involved leaving on Friday, getting back Sunday, and it was to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Yes.
Now I am a newbie. This was my first time at any Renaissance Festival whatsoever. Rachel, you'd been how many times before?
I want to say maybe like 3 or 4, not a ton, but enough that it has like a lot of solid memories for me.
Okay, so you'd call yourself a veteran, but maybe not an expert, perhaps?
Yeah.
That's that wide sweet spot that you could say that I think a lot of people occupy on many topics. So was it what you remembered then?
Yes.
Was it more? Was it less? Was there anything missing? What stood out to you as somebody returning?
Yeah. Honestly, so this is interesting. I found some people discussing in online spaces how the magic seems to have dissipated a bit in past years and this year. But I found the magic to be well intact and if not like more magical than I remember.
Okay. And I'm realizing that I've started out of order a little bit here. For those who have never been to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, that's in Shakopee, Minnesota. And the people we went with are seasoned veterans dressed as any pick your fantasy trope. One of them looked a little hobbitish, the other slightly more human or elf, maybe a bit of dwarf, good beard on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to them if they happen to hear that ridiculous description I just gave them. But they were very well in the know. And so they gave us a few pointers like dogs are welcome, but maybe leave yours at the hotel or at home, which I think would have been fine if we brought Toby, but probably better that we left him at the hotel this time. He did great as he does. Mm-hmm. But it is a huge, it's not, I struggle to say it's a village.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. It's truly the size of a village, of a medieval village. I imagine there were many that were probably quite smaller. Like, it's too big to be called a hamlet, I think. Like, it's big. And I think part of that is that the streets are wide to accommodate the number of people, so it might feel larger than it is. But my first worry going in was, is this going to feel like a put-on? You know, is this going to feel like a cheap performance by, you know, is this going to feel like a middle school theater thing where you can see, I mean, and sure, there were plenty of Amazon costumes, mm-hmm. which is exactly what I would have worn if I'd have gone in costume. I was a time traveler. but no, I was continually, repeatedly blown away. Mm-hmm. If you look in their metalsmithing section on the website, I think they list 8 to 10 people. And I think 3 or 4 of those are actually making swords in a true forge that they've set up to some degree. If only a crude one, just to demonstrate the extreme basics of a blacksmith shop. One of them's actually sitting there making really nice stuff and demonstrating the true depth of the craft. So I thought, okay, that already, when I saw the third real blacksmith swinging a hammer, I thought, whoa,
mm-hmm.
okay.
They go hard here.
that number stood out to me. I was like, that's a lot. And then, you know what the second thing was? The sheer quantity of which stood out to me? The mead lines.
Yep.
It was the mead lines.
Yes.
It was, well, and I saw the first mead line, I thought, yep, that's how big I thought the mead line would be. But then when I saw the second one of the same size, I thought, whoa, hold on, Oktoberfest. And then I saw the third of the same size. I was like, oh, okay. I see what people are doing here.
It was delicious.
I see what people are doing here. That was so, I mean, without meaning to, we've transitioned. I've stolen the spotlight here, and I'm sorry, but it became my first impressions.
As it should, though. You were the one who hadn't been.
The newbie.
So, yeah.
What was your favorite new portion, though? What did you see for the first time this weekend that you were super glad we saw?
Yeah. I feel like it's a strange little sideshow part of it, but the rare cork-nosed piggies, that alone, that drew me in so hard.
It was, where was that?
It was the first, like...
Wasn't with the swords? Wasn't...
No, it was a pottery little
Was it
vendor.
A pottery place?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There, the little bays and the stalls, it was almost...
Maybe it's been there before.
It was almost like an antique mall writ large, mm-hmm. where a lot of places each had their little space and you could walk into it and it was a U-shape to some degree. And they did different things and there were places that were obviously a lot larger and some mm-hmm. places even had their own buildings if they were certain sizes of vendors and such. But I guess I just got them a little bit mixed up. So it was a pottery place where they sold piggy banks as livestock. It was magnificent. They had a little pen and it was the cutest thing. The rare cork-nosed pigs. I didn't even see the sign that said that.
Mm-hmm.
Adorable. If you're involved in the rare cork-nosed pigs, top notch. We should have complimented you by buying one, but mm-hmm. prices were what I expected.
What they should be.
Yes.
Again,
I didn't look at anything and say, I would never pay that for that thing. You know, it mm-hmm. wasn't the pro shop effect.
Yeah.
If you've ever been in any team's pro shop, I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. Speaking of pro shops, I can't let a whole segment go by without calling out the fact that the Packers notched a victory yesterday in their first game of the season, and of course Micah Parsons notched a sack. There, I said it. We will not be talking about that in a latter segment because our topic for later is the drive between. I figured Renaissance fairs and road trips. They go hand in hand after all. We had a pretty long drive. We went, of course, from Price County, where we call home, and in Sawyer County, where we go between quite often, over to, well, we went as far west as Delano, of course, where you call home. I think that was as far away as we got. Of course, Shakopee further south, but is it further away? I'm not sure. It might be.
It might be, but honestly, I don't know.
Yeah. Horse apiece. Yep. Horse apiece. We were west and south of the cities. We were in the cities, as many of you would likely call it. I learned a new term. Your dad taught me a new term.
Yes,
taught you
did.
A new term too.
Yeah.
The exurbs. The exurbs. And that'll be part of what we talk about later. What is an exurb? And it explains a lot of the arguments we've even had on this segment.
Yeah.
We've had discussions about where you live and what to call it, and we'll discuss similar things later. For now, you've been listening to WBZH's Local Report. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow continues. To keep your finger on the pulse here in Hayward, though, head to the website, WBZH.fm, sign up for the newsletter, and stay tuned to WBZH. I'm Greg Gunderson. She's Rachel Casey. We'll be right back. We're back on WBZH, the Buzz of the North, stealing some time from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I'm Greg Gunderson, here again with Rachel Casey, and today the topics have been Renaissance fests and now looking at road trips, but also touching on the nature of, I don't know, geography, I guess. I wanted to go more specific than that. I was going to bring out the scalpel, but I guess I have to stick with the net on this one. Geography, exurbs. Your dad taught me the term exurbs over the weekend, and it explains something that we've discussed even on this segment on the Monday morning spots we get here with Pat. So you're from a place that to me was unique and to many people will be quite familiar, but you have your face against the furnace and your back against the winter. It's city on one side and true, honest farm country miles deep, just a mile away. And that was weird to me. And I've only been able to articulate it once your dad explained what the exurb was, at least by his understanding. I don't know. I've only heard from your dad what an exurb is, so I should probably do more research before I lean on that definition. That said, your dad's a very smart guy. So, and I can't even pretend I even know it well enough. Why don't you? Rachel Googling is going to be very helpful for all of us in just a moment. But your dad described it as the very outer ring of suburbs where they transition into farm country and rural areas. An exurb is an area outside the typically denser inner suburban area at the edge of the metro, which has some economic and commuting connection to the metro, low housing density, and relatively high population growth. Okay, there are layers to this onion, but you get the point. You get the point. So this is an area that is transitional from urban into rural. But that transition was far more abrupt than I realized it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because where we're from here in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, it's much more delineated. I mean, even the farms and the towns are often quite separated, though some are quite close. The towns aren't large enough for it to be that stark of a contrast.
Right.
Whereas over, at least in your neck of the woods, it's really, truly, I mean, wow, the separation. I didn't realize it, and I feel like I've definitely kind of I've definitely shouted you down about it. Now I feel kind of impotent in any attempt to do so, but I feel humbled. I feel humbled.
I appreciate this.
That there is a Wikipedia article that supports you is kind of damning to me, I'm afraid.
Very core.
do you know what I mean, though? I think you can see what I mean, and that the separation between farm and town is different where I'm from than where you're from.
Yeah, for sure.
And that it was quite jarring to hear you just explain it. I was like, no, that's a myth. That's a myth.
You're not. Exist.
Well, I think the issue was that you described it as that you were from the country. And I was like, no,
mm-hmm.
no.
And my best friend grew up on a farm. Now, literally.
To be super fair, I might still pick nits if I was in that kind of mood with you. But no, like there was, it's right there. It's right there. True country. Minnesota, you're organized weird. That's and Rachel agrees.
Story.
The native agrees. That's what she said. I'm paraphrasing you a little bit, but the record will support my interpretation of things. Actually, nominally speaking, our topic of this side of things is the road trip. So we went from the cities to the Northwoods of Wisconsin. That's a trip that many of us make quite often, I think, because those cities are such a draw. They're a little bit of a black hole. Our family moves there. There's healthcare. There's job opportunities. There's
resources.
Entertainment.
What?
Yeah, there are things that are only right there. And if you're a Vikings fan, you're there more often than I want to know. But it for us is a fun little thing that really we can make a weekend of. You and I enjoy a road trip. I don't think everybody does. Yeah. I think a lot of people do, though. I suspect a lot of people view that as an opportunity, that just for the gas money, you get to do something. There's some variety and some structure. A yin, a yang.
Yeah.
The salty, the sweet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a basically enjoyable thing to you and I. And we've got Toby the station dog with us the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. I mean, that's part and parcel with hitting the road for us as a pet-friendly hotel. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, he's coming with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, or we're not going in most cases.
He's too good.
Yeah, we got super lucky. We got super lucky. We got a dog with a checkered past, at least where the owners are concerned. We've never heard of any blips in his behavior ever, but it would make sense given where he came from, and it's just never happened. So again, I reiterate, we got super lucky. Why do you like road trips? Why should driving cross country in the middle of nowhere? I mean, you and I decided we were going to get a Culver's treat yesterday because it was I hope that pumpkin flavor is sticking around. I hope it wasn't just a flavor of the day in that one that we saw, but it was a pumpkin flavor. And I thought, we'll get that with Cheesecake Bites on the way home. And we skipped one Culver's and thought we'll get it at the next one. And we very quickly realized, oh no, there are no more. So through all that, what's enjoyable?
I think it depends largely on whether or not you enjoy driving as one part of that, like in and of itself.
All right. State your role.
I'm passenger princess.
Yes, I was gonna say you have to say it accurately. Thank you. You did.
But
I
do enjoy driving, even if I wasn't.
You do.
So
you do. You would totally drive. And I feel like in our relationship we're gonna experience more phases where you are willing to drive and eager to. And I'm always willing to give that up. But I will say, last time you were like, "Let me drive." I was like, "This is weird," because like I'm not okay with it by any means. I'm not emasculated by being driven a place like that. I'll admit the idea is kind of silly to me, but to each their own. I'm not gonna speak on the psychology of people I don't know. But like, I don't know. It was weird. It was just because it's outside of the norm.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
just a shakeup. Is that part of what makes it enjoyable to you?
I think so. And it also, of course, depends on the company, but the scenery, it depends on, you know, don't go through the middle of the city if that's not what your vibe is.
We did. Like, we specifically skirted around the cities. We went north of them. If you are going to the cities, make a point of aiming for, while you're going on the way down, aim for East Bethel, Minnesota, and then work your way around the cities to wherever you need to get. Unless you need to get south of the cities, then aim for somewhere that makes more sense. You get the point. Aim to the near edge, work your way there. You'll find magic along the way. It's the journey, not the destination.
Exactly.
We might have to touch on this again next week, or people will think I've just gone off the deep end. You've been listening to WBZH's Local Report, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Bring the buzz with you with the Civic Media app, free on the App Store. For WBZH and Civic Media, I'm Gray, she's Rachel.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Stacy Hessel. And Stacy, good morning. Thank you for coming in today.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
We're going to be talking about your position as a board member of the Sawyer County Board of Supervisors, and you represent District 4. Talk a little bit about what District 4 represents.
Sure. So District 4 is obviously the town of Hayward. It runs from the fire department all the way through to the town of Round Lake, and then over kind of by Wilderness Walk. So it's a very large district, and people forget that. But
yeah. So why did you get involved at the county board level?
Sure. So first of all, I'll back up, and I got involved. I've always been an advocate for the community, and I have a firm belief in either step up or shut up, because a lot of us like to tell everybody else what they should be doing that are on the boards.
Yeah,
and my personality just provokes me to step up. So I do that. And sometimes it's good Most of the time it's good. Sometimes, depending on your opinion of the situation, it's not so good. But the firm belief is that we all have a position we can take in our community. I love our community. Yep. So in 2012, I got on the school board. Prior to that, I volunteered. I was involved, you know, in our high school, like student council, things of that nature. But my first board that I got onto actively was the Hayward School Board, and I'm still involved in that, as well as the county board and the town board. So a lot of different levels, but my heart's still in the right place. Like, let's make where we live better.
I suppose your position on these various boards kind of gives you a much larger picture of the community between the town board, the county board, and the school board.
Right.
You have a very large picture of what's happening in the community. How do you keep up?
So you just do it, right? We all wake up and we have, our schedule in front of us. And I just have chosen to use my spare time giving back to the community. I've raised 3 kids you know, they're all adults now. And so that gives me a little bit more time because I'm not volunteering for whatever they had going on in school.
Yeah.
So I've replaced that with the community. So my apologies to the community because it's a little obnoxious how much I'm trying to do, but that's how I was and still am as a mom. You know, I think that you raise them upright and then they go forward. And I think that we can do that in our community too. And so just making sure that we do our due diligence while we also make sure that we remember the past of our community.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes we go forward so strong. And if we could just pause and say, well, these are the founders of our community. What was their vision? And just play on that. You know, I think I'm in a unique position as a woman, and I'm not going to play that card at the top of my deck. But I just think, you know, I'm mother. And so I know that I can do that. And so I've kind of taken that role on in the boards that I'm on as well, making sure that our community is nourished and growing and making sure it keeps at a steady pace, but not overwhelming. You know, there's 15 of us that we all have our different gifts and we have our different community contributions. And so each of us love our district. Otherwise, we wouldn't have ran you know, love our community. But not pinpointing one thing, but zoning was a big issue. I'm not on zoning anymore, but I wanted to make sure that we were growing, but making sure that we highlighted the positives of that growth too. You know, what areas are we growing in? You know, how are our beautification projects going so that when people come in, whether it's people that moved away and come back, that they're still proud of our community. So making sure that we just respect that aspect. So I think zoning is the biggest thing that I thought of. Also our law enforcement, you know, that I know that it was a little contentious, but wanting all of the sheriff's deputies to be able to take home their squad cars. Not all of our county workers live in our county, whether it's sheriff's department or regular agencies. But so I think just having that mindset of, okay, what is in the best interest of the safety of our county, you know, the growth of our county. And those are the two things that I focused on. I love and support law enforcement always, and I want our community to grow. So just making sure our zoning efforts didn't put a firm fist on people trying to grow, but also respected that they want to make it better, not that they want to just get away with things.
Yeah. So. But other districts represent other smaller communities, and to have that interrelationship with those town boards or the commissions that work in those, you know, talking about growth, how much are these other smaller communities experiencing growth?
Well, I think in any of our districts, we worry about response time for EMS. We worry in the law enforcement.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that not just the big sections like the Round Lakes, the Hayward, you know, those are being serviced, but making sure that we can get to the other townships in a good response time.
Yeah.
So, you know, where are our facilities? Are they in the right spots? Just because we've always done something, does that mean we always have to do it? Or can we look at the bigger picture and say, hey, what is the focus and what is the best interest of the district, but also of the whole county? You know, just making sure that those things are thought out, because there's several of our county board members, you know, they live in the southern part of the county. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are they being serviced as adequately as our Mecca here in Hayward?
Right.
You know, I love Hayward, but I want to make sure we're also seeing that they also love winter. They love Loretta, yep. You know. So we make sure that we talk about those things. I mean, financially, sometimes it can't, you know, we can't move things or we can't do what people want all of the time. But it's just making sure that everybody's listened to. And I think that that's the biggest compliment we can give to our constituents. Yeah.
Stacey, thank you for coming in to this morning.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. It's always good to chat. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we're doing in the community. And I hope people will continue to support our community and step up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.